got the Democracy Zone. Now back to Tom Hartman on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
And welcome back, 834 on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station. I'm Tom Hartman along with Heidi Tauber, and pleased to be back with you. Randy White is with us. Randy is with Portland Peak Oil. PortlandPeakOil.org is their website. Hey, Randy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here in the studio. What does peak oil mean?
Peak oil is the end of cheap fossil fuels, and I think peak oil might be a misnomer because, like Heidi was saying, natural gas is already amazingly high here in the United States. So I think it's more of a peak of cheap energy. But peak oil means reaching the maximum amount of energy and fossil fuels that we'll be able to extract from the earth.
Right. It actually goes back to the Hubbard peak. M. King Hubbard came up with in the 1950s, and he projected that the first peak in the United States would be, what, 74, I think it was?
Around there, and they dismissed him as an old crank.
Yeah.
And he was exactly on target for the U.S. peak. And so after that went away, now we're looking at a global production peak. And I think one of the things to make sure people understand is that the world is not running out of oil. It's just becoming a lot harder and more expensive to extract.
Right. And in fact, we already have now, in at least a dozen countries, major upheavals as a consequence of the lack of available cheap oil. You know, now just the change in oil from $18 a barrel when Bush came into office to $60 a barrel today, just that one relatively small change, I mean, relatively small depending on how you look at it, has thrown a lot of very poor countries into just, you know, over the edge. I mean, you know, we've got food riots and things in a lot of countries in the world. Here in the United States, however, you know, one of the things that the energy lobby loves to say is, well, we've got 200 to 300 years worth of coal. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is, do you want to breathe in a bunch of soot through? And
but we have coal gasification. We have clean coal technology.
Scrubbers.
If people think that there's enough alternative fuel other than what we get from natural gas and oil, they have an extremely scary surprise coming in the near future.
Yeah, it's the bottom line. So what are you folks doing here in Oregon, in Portland?
Well, Portland Peak Oil is a group of Portlanders, and we even have people driving up from Salem, and we are average citizens that have come together after discovering this information that's publicly available. Type in peak oil on the internet, and there's a number of sites you can find out to educate yourself. There is no agenda other than trying to prepare ourselves for the end of cheap energy. There are people that are different levels of knowledge and even intentions. For instance, some people are looking to create community, and that's why I'm involved with the group. I want to see Portland become more dependent on one another and live locally, live light. And that's why I'm so intent on focusing on the Pacific Northwest as what we call a lifeboat, if you will, so that you can work without importing Brazilian nuts and have fruit that is in season or out of season in the winter, but still have fresh strawberries. But
those are Oregon nuts, by the way.
Yeah, that's from Azure Standard.
Fantastic.
But then our nuts and blueberries here in the studio.
There are others that are more interested in self-preservation. So you have a variety of people and a variety of reasons for coming together. However, there are the main reasons are to educate ourselves and to work together to put together skill sets and find out how we can keep going. Because this is, I think, for your listeners, they need to understand that there is not going to be a magic elixir of that they can take that makes everything just be A-okay. There is not going to be this magic technology that
we went through a transition like this. And frankly, not all that different from what's happening right now. In the late part of the 19th century, much of the United States was deforested. Wood was the primary fuel source. The Romans went through this, I think it was around the year 100, no, it was the year 200 BC. The Romans had completely deforested Italy, and that was one of the things that caused them, they had this huge currency crisis because it cost so much for the wood to smelt silver that their coins were doubling in value every year because it cost so much just to smelt the silver. And it was shattering the Roman Empire. And that led them to conquer, you know, to build their 54 wooden ships and leave Italy and, you know, head out to the rest of Europe and or, you know, just other regions. So, you know, we've seen this before. And in the United States, what happened was when as wood became less and less available, coal stepped in, at least on the East Coast, and oil started stepping in, you know, throughout the Midwest and the West Coast. And we made a transition. People used to have coal fired, you know, in fact, all around Portland. You'll find homes that have, you know, if you get down to the wood floors in the living room, you'll find a big square in the middle that's a different kind of wood, you know. And well, that's where the convective hole used to be. And down in the basement, you know, used to be a coal-fired stove or in some cases wood, but usually coal. Don't you think that we have the potential, that we have the ability to simply make that transition again if we put some effort and some thought into it, building community energy sources, using solar, using wind, using biomass, using water power, and of course, perhaps most important, conserving energy?
I do on the energy front. However, I think that you also need to consider that so many products, so many medicines, so many aspects of our daily lives are affected by petroleum, petroleum prices, food, transportation, keeping the highways up. Everything that we know for our modern lives is affected by the increase in pricing.
Here's the Wall Street Journal's take on that. I mean, you know, not literally, I'm not literally quoting them, but basically the take of that crowd is, well, okay, this all is true, and it's going to be a problem for the little people. You know, it's kind of the Leona Helmsley view of it. You know, well, anybody who is marginally getting by, basically the bottom end of the middle class, they're going to have in fact, they are right now struggling just to fill their gas tank to get to work. And that's going to, you know, and so you may have a recession, you may have a depression, but, you know, America's a rich country. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money slopping around. We'll make it through. It's just going to be a tough time for a few of the, quote, little people. Your response?
My response is that is merely the beginning of a large die-off. And I'm not looking to try to scare everyone here, but I think that they need to look at the reality of the situation.
I assume you've seen dieoff.org.
I've been all over there. In looking at the amount of food that we produce in the entire world, it's a petroleum-based agriculture industry. And when you have an expensive fuel source or a declining fuel source, and you also have had so much suburban sprawl that has taken up the farmland in the world, then I think it's a big implication of people not only struggling, but will there be jobs? Will there be, as Jim Kunstler puts it in The Long Emergency, 6,000-mile Caesar salads any longer? And
right.
PortlandPeakOil.org is our website where people can educate themselves more. And we also meet every Wednesday night at St. Francis Basement. It's 11th and Pine. And I encourage people to come out and see what we're about. We have film showings. We have discussion groups. And this is a subject that will affect everyone. So we are merely a group of concerned citizens that I believe has the foresight and the intestinal fortitude to get together and try to prepare the Northwest.
So what do you suggest, Randy? How does one start now to sustain themselves and their community, their families, friends, their hometown?
Thank you for asking that. We suggest living light, living local, the reduce, reuse, recycle mantra. And there are some people that are going to extremes and I've sold my car and I'm getting a scooter that gets 90 miles per gallon. I think it's a wise investment. You can look cool. You can be functional. You can zip through traffic. And that's one method. During the rain, I'll wear a raincoat. We'll find a way. There's great public transportation. Other people are going to extremes where they are completely going off the grid. Frankly, I don't think that the average 2-children little league mom is going to go that far. If you have a mortgage, I understand that. And I would do what I could to get out of debt at this point. Take an inventory of your house. Make sure that just assume that the power went out in your house for 2 weeks. Do you have water on hand? Do you have enough food on hand? It's just wise.
You're starting to sound like the Mormons,
principles.
You know. It's have a 1 month supply of food and,
listen,
and water stored away.
I'm in a rock band, and I've never wanted to study the Amish so much in my life.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. It's they've got it all figured out there. Okay, Randy White is with us. The group is PortlandPeakOil.org. Portland www.PortlandPeakOil.org. Check it out, and you meet again. Every
Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Yeah, 11th and Pine. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Sure. Thanks for being with us here, Randy.
Congressman Peter DeFazio has plenty.